Yeah, Holy Spirit, just invite you to come, Spirit of Truth, and just bring revelation into our hearts and minds. Yeah, Lord, we want to encounter you this afternoon. Lord, we want lives to be broken off. We want revelation of truth. Lord, we want to hear destiny spoken over us. And Lord, we just pray that you would stir up our hearts, Lord. Stir us up to be who you who created us to be, Lord. Amen. Okay, so if you've been here for the last few months, you'll know that we've been looking at the book of Joshua. Has anyone noticed that?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Has anyone been reading the book of Joshua?
Yeah.
A few? Good. If you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to read it. But the reason that we did the book of Joshua is because we really felt, you know, when we're thinking about the teaching on Sundays, usually this kind of time of year, at the beginning of our new academic year, we're kind of thinking, what is God wanting to bring prophetically into us as a church in terms of vision and where we're moving forward? And we really felt that, you know, the book of Joshua, it's the whole thing about taking the land, possessing the land. And we felt that this is what God is speaking into us as a church. And to really, like, try and look at the nitty-gritty of how we go about that. So does anyone remember some of the stuff? Well done, Chris. That we have learned over the last few months. You know, we had 10 principles of taking the land. Does anyone remember any of them?
Be strong and courageous.
Be strong and courageous.
We need the word of God.
We need the presence.
You
know what? A really great guy did that talk. Okay, so we need to know the fear of God and walk in the holiness of God. Pardon? Be obedient. That was another good talk from a wonderful lady. any others? Expect the supernatural. Yeah. I actually sadly missed that talk last week, and it wasn't recorded, so I can't hear it, which I'm sad about. Any more?
Go into the land and possess it.
Yeah, go into the land and possess it. That's today. Woo! Any others?
God's promises
are multi-generational. Yes, God's promises are multi-generational. Well done,
Gemma.
I didn't even count them to know if we did them all, but we get the idea. So, you know, just to remind us, like, if you look at Joshua 1, we're not going to look at it right now, but just for when you're meditating on this, you know, all those, on the whole, you see all those principles in that first chapter, and then you see them being outworked throughout the book. And I would encourage you to be still keep on meditating on this, thinking on it, praying over it, and working out, you know, what does this mean for our day-to-day lives and stuff like that. So today, we're looking, the two things we're looking at are possess the land and God gives us the land. But what I've decided to do is, I really felt to kind of spend some time today just kind of chatting, but it's not really chatting, it's still going to be preaching, but about the vision of the journey, okay? So, you know, the vision of the journey is to possess the land, ultimately. So I thought this was a really good opportunity just for us to hear again the things that God has called us to do, why we started this church 5 years ago, and what are these things that have been spoken over us, because, you know, if we are going to follow God and see his purposes fulfilled, we see that it doesn't always happen in a moment. It doesn't happen as quickly as we maybe want to, you know. Even to the point, like, that first principle we looked at about how God's promises are multi-generational, that we are actually part of something far bigger than ourselves, part of God's purposes that have been going on over thousands of years, to start with. You know, we're part of the church in the worldwide movement. You know, we are part of a massive thing. God knows what he's doing, and we're all playing our part within it as a church, here in Enfield Green, as individuals. We're part of something massive and exciting. Are you excited to be part of it?
Yeah.
Good! Because the church is just the most amazing thing, because the church is the agent by which God has chosen to put the fullness of himself in to bring the kingdom of God. And it's the kingdom of God which is going to transform our nation. You know, our nation means God. It really, really means God. I'm loving the feedback. I really hope that Jenny comes like this permanently.
It's true.
You know, our nation is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And, you know, I just want to do this thing. A few weeks ago, I was at, we have this thing called the Shared Life Forum, which is when the congregation leaders of the congregations in River and their deputies, they meet together. And we were like praying for each other's congregations. And I think it was Judith Forster who had a prophecy about Enfield Green, and she felt like God was saying that, you know that scripture in the Gospels about light on a hill shining? And she felt like God was saying that that was what, like a city on a hill was Enfield Green. Even though it's a tiny little village, there's something significant about it. It's a city on a hill. And that we need to kind of see it in that way. And then a few days later, I think it was Chris Wackwood, he didn't know about this, and you felt the same thing, didn't you? You were praying. And so, you know, when things like that happen, I always take it as significant that God is trying to say something. And, you know, Enfield Green is a tiny little village, but it's a place where God has great purposes for, because, you know, obviously we have Royal Holloway here, where we have a continual flow of students coming through who will come here and capture hold of something that God is doing and then take it wherever they go, which could be around the world, into different areas of society. But God is wanting to set something up in this place, which we are a part of, and there are other churches around that are part of this, where God does something so significant in their lives. They catch hold of something of his heartbeat for the world that they outwork in every area of society. And I just know that God has called this place to raise up world leaders. I'm kind of like unapologetic about it because I know it's true. That even though it might be like, oh yeah, everyone thinks that about world leaders. But no, I really believe it, that that's what God has chosen in this place. And, you know, the vision of the journey has always been that there will be a core group of people who are here that are committed to the long term to living in this village, to kind of changing the village and seeing God do awesome things here. But there will also always be this continual flow of people, often coming through as students, who are catching hold of God. They're here for a few years, God does something significant in them, and they take it out. And we already have seen that happen in the last 5 years in small ways, but God is wanting to do it more. And it's not just in terms of people just moving in their jobs. I really believe it's also in terms of mission, that God really has called us to influence the world. And I really believe that over the years, many people go out as missionaries from this place into the darkest places of the world and bring the light of Jesus. Because once we know who we are as sons and daughters of God, we know that destiny has in our lives. We know that the church really is the most powerful, amazing thing to transform society. Once we know that, we begin to walk in it, then we're like, come on, let's go to the darkest place. You know, I want to go to the darkest places. You know, when I'm in this kind of hyped up moment, sometimes when I think about how terrible that would be, I feel like, oh, maybe I'm just staying in this nice little village. But, you know, I want to go there because I know that's where Jesus would be. Jesus would go to those dark places and bring the light of God into those places. And, I find it sad sometimes when I see like some of my friends who I've known for a long time and they don't know the love of God. And even some of them, maybe they actually do know the love of God, but they don't know how exciting it can actually be to follow Jesus. They just kind of got stuck in a place. And I just think, oh, Jesus came to give us life to the full. He came to give us this awesome destiny. It doesn't mean to say that everything is always perfect and happy. There are challenges. But when we catch hold of that bigger picture of where we go, it's exciting, it's adventurous. You know, I can't remember who it was, we were chatting with some people recently about when, actually it was Chris Wackham again. I just remembered. We were chatting about knife culture and in London. And we were talking about how, you know, there's something in people that wants to engage with something adventurous and exciting. And, you know, I'm sure this is not the only reason for knife culture, but we always say that there's something about that that maybe they haven't got something to give their lives to on an adventure, so they end up kind of, you know, they're bored and they end up doing that kind of thing. But once you know who God is, and you know the destiny he has on your life, that you actually have an opportunity, no matter who you are, to be involved in something exciting and adventurous and which has eternal significance. Do you want to be part of that?
Yes!
Woo! Okay. So in, I just want to share some vision stuff with you. So I want to go to various passages in the Bible that talk about the church so that you know what we're going for here. So let's go to Isaiah 60 to start with. Okay, so this chapter is when Isaiah was prophesying about the church that would come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Okay, we'll just do that for now. So, I just want you to think about this as God prophetically speaking into the church. Arise. I did threaten in the soaking to shout. No, actually it wasn't rise up, it was wake up. But, you know, God is saying, church, arise, shine. You know, if he's telling us to shine, then it means that the light is already inside of us. You know, the church, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us already. And we need to shine and let that light out. We can't hide it, as it tells us in the New Testament. But your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So this is something we've already got. The glory of the Lord has already risen upon us. And we need to walk in the reality of that. And then in this verse, you know, it's recognising the fact that darkness is covering the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But it's saying in the midst of that, the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Now, I'm not going to really concentrate on these verses very much, but I just want us to kind of have that as a background and maybe you want to meditate on it more. Of that God has called the church to rise up. His glory has already risen upon us. We need to shine. You know, as most of you know, I went to New York last week. Yay! Lots of you have heard me say that on many occasions over this last few days. Anyway, I went to Ground Zero, and which was like a really moving event. And one really amazing part of that was there's this church called St. Paul's, which is like really close to the site where it all happens. And it was amazing that it didn't actually get destroyed. And apparently there was like a tree that kind of caught some metal, so it didn't get infected at all in any way, but in a little bit of damage. And anyway, this church became like a real kind of centre of activity of helping what was going on, not just like in the immediate days after, but for about 9 months after, as they, you know, they're still involved in a wreckage and lots of workers working really long hours. And apparently 14,000 volunteers helped through this church. You know, people came from all over to help, which is really amazing. And if you ever go there, if you go into the church, it tells a story of all the different things that happened, and it's a really amazing thing. But this thing, which I actually took a photo of, but if you're my friend on Facebook, have a look, so put it on there. And there's this quote that says, St. Paul's was an oasis of heaven in the midst of hell. And the reason I took that photo is because I thought, this is exactly what the church has been called to be. An oasis of heaven in the midst of hell. You know, terrible things may be going around us. You know, we're called to go in those dark places, but we bring heaven on earth, you know, the kingdom coming, and it becomes an oasis of heaven in the midst of hell, which is just an awesome thing for a church to have that said about it. Don't you think?
Yeah,
good.
Good.
Okay. Let's go to Acts 2. You know, do you know that you're part of a revolution that's been going on for the last 2,000 years? Does anyone know that? No? So, you know, Acts 2, most of us will know this passage, it's talking about when Jesus has gone back to heaven, he's told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit falls on them. Okay, and in verse 42. So after, you know, the Holy Spirit falls, weird things happen, Peter explains it all to everybody, and, you know, the church begins, and it says in verse 42, it's talking about the people of God there in Jerusalem. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions, and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And the reason I wanted to read this passage to you is in the context of us talking about what's the vision of the journey, is that, you know, when we first started the journey, this passage was very key to what we wanted to go for as a church, because it kind of just gives you a little pocket here of what the church is meant to be. And, you know, I think some of this stuff I can see happening here. You know, the whole thing of community, which is so key to us here, it's talking here about them sharing from house to house, eating meals together, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I just want to kind of share this passage with you today to think about that this is kind of key to what we're going for, that this whole thing about being devoted to, you know, getting into the Bible. You know, it talks about the apostles' teaching. You know, that we want to be people who really understand what the Bible says by revelation. You know, as we read it, we're not just reading it for information, but we're looking for the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. And we're looking to actually believe what the Bible says. Does anyone want to believe what the Bible says?
Yeah.
The Bible says that we do greater things than Jesus did. I'd quite like to do what Jesus did. Would anybody else?
Yeah.
You know, I love it when I think I've heard probably Bill Johnson or Chris Walls, one of the two, maybe both, say that, you know, Jesus came, he left behind his deity, who he was as God, to become a human, to show us what a human being could do in the power of the Spirit living inside of us. And Jesus has shown us how to do it, but he's also said that we would do greater things. So we need to walk in the reality of that. Now, verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. You know, if you're feeling awe, it's because you're amazed at who God is and what he's doing. That's what the church is meant to be. And sometimes the reason that we don't feel awed isn't because of God isn't doing anything, it's because we're not recognising who he is and what he's doing. We're just kind of drifting along. But if we would look and see who God is and what he's doing, it would amaze us. We need to just take a look at what he's doing, because he is doing things. God is always doing things, but it's up to us to align ourselves to him, to join in with what he's doing. You know, if you think, oh, God's not doing anything here, but he's doing something over there, there's kind of a truth in that, but it's not completely true. Because God is always wanting to do things, and he is doing things, but we need to align ourselves with it. You know, you might think to yourself, oh, that always happens to somebody else, or different things like that, or good things always happen to them, in whatever context. Those kind of thoughts that can come through our heads. But, you know, everybody has an opportunity to be a son or daughter of God, you just need to say yes to Jesus. And once you are a son or daughter of God, you are royalty, you have destiny, you've been set free. You know, you can change the world. There aren't just some special people who are going to change the world. It is about whether or not we choose to align ourselves to God's purposes. And in doing that, it demands sacrifice. It demands surrender. You know, Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. It does demand these things of us. We can't just be like, oh yeah, I'll just let God come and, you know, if he wants to use me, he can. I'll just be passive. That's not the way it works. I'm telling you because I know. If you think that's how it's going to work for you, it's really not. It's not going to be a passive thing. It's going to be how you choose to seek God and align yourself with his purposes. And people who have chosen to do that, it's always exciting to be around them because something exciting is always happening. Di is a kind of exciting person to be around. And also, the junction. Does anyone know what the junction is? Weekend away, the end of January. Di is going to be speaking there, which is going to be really exciting. But, you know, Di is the kind of person, I'll just use her as an example because it's fun, even though she's embarrassed, who's aligned herself to the purpose of God. And it's always exciting to be around her because she's always got something exciting to say. Either something that's going on, or something that God's saying, or something she's just discovered, and it's always like exciting and you feel like, yay, big picture stuff. And, you know, so if you want to be that kind of person, get around those kind of people who are aligning themselves with God and his purposes, and you'll become like it yourself. You know, we need to encourage each other in it. But if we're going to be passive, and we're just going to think, oh, that's what happened to me, live under self-pity. You know, sometimes we need to step out of living under self-pity and just be like, the truth is, I am a son or daughter of God. That's the truth. Yeah? And we need to walk in that reality. You know, I actually really feel, I know this might sound really harsh, but some of us, we need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. And, because the thing is, life is difficult sometimes. Hard things happen. And God is really compassionate and gracious and he brings healing into our lives. But we just need to know that we're sons and daughters and just get on with it. Because there are exciting things. There are exciting things. And we need to align ourselves with the purposes of God. You know, disappointment is something that the enemy uses so much to come in and rob us of what God has for us. You know, some of us, maybe it's like we've got a little thorn in our heart of disappointment and we just kind of like it almost, because if we actually let God take out that disappointment, it would almost feel an injustice that that thing wasn't really that bad. Has anyone ever felt that before? Yeah. And, you know, we need to let God deal with that because, you know, it says in Scripture that God is our... Is it in danger? No, there must be more than one, I can't think. But anyway, Chris always laughs when I do things like this because it makes me sound incompetent. No, it's a little joke we had a few weeks ago. It's nothing bad. I'm terrified. He doesn't actually think I'm incompetent. But anyway, sorry, Chris. You know, God will deal with these things for us, yeah? We just need to let God bring the justice. Sometimes we want to bring it ourselves, or we let that disappointment come in. So I'm kind of just playing with things I feel today as well as we go along. But, you know, for some of us, we need to break out that disappointment. We need to get help from others who can help us, so we can actually align ourselves with the purposes of God. You know, sometimes, if I'm really honest, I think to myself, oh, I would have expected so much more stuff to have happened in 5 years. You know, I think, and I can just feel like, oh, is it ever going to happen in your journey? You know, and allow those things to come in. But you're like, no, I know the things that God has spoken over us as a church. I know the things that he's called us to do. And although sometimes we're not seeing it happen as quickly as we want to, I'm going to align myself to, you know, be looking into him and what he's saying and to run with perseverance. Let's go to Hebrews 12. this is really key for us. Hebrews 12 verse 1. And this is like after Hebrews 11, when they talk about all these great men and women of God that have gone before us. And then, then it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. So this is an encouragement to us that, you know, we need to lay aside the things that will hold us down, maybe it's those disappointments in our hearts, whatever it may be, and we need to run with perseverance. Perseverance is key. We need to be in it for the long haul. You know, there might be things that God has put in your heart and you haven't seen them happen yet and you're feeling like, oh, maybe it's just not going to happen. But we need to run with perseverance. Sometimes it doesn't happen straight away. It takes time. You know, talks in Hebrews about how some people have been praying for things they didn't even see them happen in their lifetime. But there's something about their prayers that we're counting for eternity. And we need that eternal perspective. That's why when we were looking at possessing the land, we looked at the whole thing of it being multi-generational. We need that perseverance, which goes against our culture, which is all about instant, 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 you know. So we have a debt culture, fast food, etc., etc. We're all in a rush, busy, busy, busy. You know, this kind of culture goes against it, the perseverance that we need to say, right, this is what I'm giving myself to, and I'm going to stick with it, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to go for the long haul, even if it's challenging. And it talks about how Jesus did it because of the joy that was set before him. Jesus went through all those terrible things because he knew what would be to come. He knew the bigger picture of things of eternal significance. Yeah, he went through the most horrendous suffering, but he knew, wow, everyone's going to be able to have this awesome relationship with me. He knew if the presence of God is living inside of us, how our lives would change, how we'd be set free from things, how we'd know joy and peace, how we'd know what it means to actually be walking in the fullness of who God's created us to be. You know, do you find when you're doing things, it could be anything, it could be music, whatever is your thing, running, that you just feel so happy with life when you're doing them, something about it that feels like, yeah, this is what I'm created for, I'm really happy. It might be that you just love nature, or whatever it could be. You know, there's something about this that just makes you feel really happy, and that's something in the way that God has created you, that God wants us to have that fullness of life. It's not just about what we might, in inverted commas, talk about spiritual things. It's about the fullness of life. It's about having good relationships. It's about God coming and transforming our hearts so we can actually have successful relationships. We can get healed up of things that have happened to us in our lives. And so, because Jesus knew that, he knew it was worth going through his pain. And we need to have that same perspective. There are things that God has called us to do, and they're of internal significance, but we might not see the fullness of it all on the earth, because maybe they just realise the implications of stuff. It might not be till heaven that we get that bigger perspective. But we need to be committed to go for a long haul. You know, wherever that may be, sometimes things seem really hard, but particularly, you know, maybe it's in the workplace that God has called you to go through. And it's hard because people are not so open. But if God has given you a vision for it, don't give up. You know, I think for all of us, whether or not you're spending most of your time at university or at work, there is a battle on for our identity. You know, because the world, as it were, is seeking to, you know, not consciously, but kind of get us to be like them, as it were. Do you know what I mean? There's a pressure because we don't want to be left out. We don't want to seem like we're odd. And so the core of our identity and who we are is being attacked when, you know, if we're tempted to do things or be a certain way and it's not really fitting with who we are. That's why we need to push into God and know who we are as his sons and daughters so we can be free to live out from that place no matter where we are. Does that make sense? Or is it vague? But these are the practical kind of things of what does it actually mean to live this out in the day-to-day of life. And we're going to be looking at those kind of stuff in some ways next term. Okay, so I'm kind of flitting around, but I'm just sharing vision stuff with you rather than an organised 3.7. So I hope this is okay. There was silence. And so some other things that I just want to share that are really important for us here are, you know, when Jesus was asked what is the greatest commandment, and he said, love God, love yourself, and love others, basically. And, you know, this is so cool to who we are. You know, sometimes we can get stuck in what our program is going to be here as church. And if we just did it this way, that way, maybe we'd be more effective in whatever we think we should be effective in. And at the core of who we are, we need to remember the most important thing is that we're loving God. You know, I just really want the journey to be a church that is just passionately in love with God. Does anyone want to be like that?
Yes.
Yeah. Because when you're passionately in love with God, it puts everything else into perspective. You know, we need to hang out with God and get so crazy passionate about Him. And I know that that's the key for us here as a journey, is just to become more and more passionately in love with God. It's the absolute key. We need to just be hungry for His presence, hungry for seeking Him. You know, I say it so many times, I'll say it again, about how in John 15, how it talks about fruitfulness coming from that place of intimacy, of abiding in the vine, abiding in God, it's talking about that. And so we need to become so completely passionately in love with God, and we need to love ourselves. That's really key, we need to love ourselves. And we need to love each other. It's that basic, but at the core, that is what God has called the church to be, and that's the most powerful thing. And so, you know, we need to not let criticism for each other and each other's ideas and stuff come in. We need to not let that in. We need to love each other relentlessly and really protect that. We need to love, in the appropriate manner, of course, we need to love other churches in this area. You know, God has called us all to be here. We all have our parts to play in this bigger picture of what God is doing. And we just need to bless and love what other churches are doing. And actually, in line with that, kind of, just I thought I'd share a few little things. Because today, when I was chatting to Liz, I realised that not everybody knows all this stuff. So I thought, oh, we better share it. So everyone knows that the Methodist Church has been refurbished, don't you?
Yeah.
That's why we're not there. But the vision behind it being refurbished is that it's going to be called the Village Centre. And the idea is that it's a kind of centre for the community that's going to offer kind of different services. So who's met Lou Ashford? She is the Methodist minister for Ethical Green and other places as well. She's a really brilliant lady. And she's really made this whole thing happen. She's managed to raise all kinds of money for this refurbishment to happen. And the idea is, you know, the kind of practical services that people need, whether it's debt, relief, just a place to hang out. The front of it, if we manage to get the rest of the money, the front of it is going to become like a coffee shop, which will be like a hangout place that anyone can come to. Maybe there'll be like mothers and toddlers, things running, all this kind of thing that kind of invites people in. And the idea will be that, you know, just out of loving people and naturally building a relationship with you have an opportunity for them to encounter God's love. So there'll be other things running. Debt counselling is an idea. There's lots of different services that people need who are in need in some form. Those kind of things will look to run from there. Also, there's probably going to be a post office there. Because you may know that the post office a few doors down closed down a little while ago. And that's a real problem, especially for older people living in the village, because you can't walk all the way down to Egham to get their pension, etc. So they're looking to open a post office in the back of the church. But one also, another really exciting thing for us here at Journey, particularly, when all those things are up and running, there'll be lots of opportunities for people here to get involved with them. And they're really looking for us to be really involved, so just throwing that out there. But the other thing as well is, you know, the top at the Methodist Church where the balcony is, I don't know if you've been up there before. We've had a prayer room up there before. Well, the whole of that, when all the stuff is out, is a massive area, and that's going to become a 24/7, 365 prayer room. And we're going to run it. And the idea is, you know, it will be for like anyone to use, all churches and stuff like that. But I really feel that that is so key as the powerhouse behind what God is wanting to do at Royal Holloway and in this village. That prayer is absolutely key. And we really need to get hold of that as a church. And so I think, you know, in us setting up this prayer room, that's going to be really, really key to what happens then. So I just want you to be thinking about that and how you can be involved in that. Is anyone up for that?
Yeah.
Okay, just thinking what else I want to share with you. Possessing the land, and Joshua and the Israelites, they had to actually walk forward and take hold of the land and to actually take action. And God was giving them the land because he'd already gone ahead of them to prepare it for them, but he still needed to take hold of it. And God has called us to do things here in this village at Royal Holloway, and we need to become a lot more passionate about possessing it. You know, in I think it's in Luke, it's in one of the Gospels, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it talks about how violent men take hold of the kingdom. And what it's trying to get across there is, when you think about violence, we think about something that's really destructive. But actually, although it's coming from a place of great passion, but being used in a negative way. Does that make sense? And there's something about God wanting us to have that level of violent passion in a constructive manner that's going to go and possess the land. We need to get a whole lot more passionate. I know that we are passionate, but there is another level that God is wanting us to go up, to get aggressively passionate. I'm not thinking that we should go and start treating people in an aggressive manner. Please do not do that. Gently, loving. But in the spirit, in our praying, in our perseverance, in our not giving up, not backing down, we need to be violent and aggressive. Okay? Because when we start being like that, we're going to see your kingdom come. You know, God is wanting us to kind of really kind of, and it's not just about hype, because it's got to be something that goes onto the day to day, but we are going to be passionate about seeing God's kingdom come at Royal Holloway. There are so many things that God is wanting to do at Royal Holloway. So many more things. You know, there's so many more things he's wanting to do in this village, but we need to get passionate about it. We need to engage with things. And there are things that are beginning to happen that we are doing in the village, such as Impact and the Healing Tent and other things, which if you want to find out more about, come to the community, we'll be talking about them there. But we are literally trying to lift these people's lives out of darkness, not in a kind of we're better than you way at all. It's not about that. It's about wanting people to have that love of God in their lives, because we know how awesome it is. And so we need to get really stirred up in our hearts. And you know, it's not just about getting all loud and rah at a meeting. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about stirred up in our hearts on a day-to-day basis. Whether or not our personality will mean that we'll go rah, or whether or not that's something inside of us, it doesn't actually matter. It's about what's going on in our hearts. It's about that level of passion. And, you know, I shared it a few weeks back when I was here, but some of you won't have been here, but some of you will have heard this before. You know, when God was speaking to me when I was a second year student about, I didn't realise it was about the journey, but kind of that's what it was. You know, God said to me, Will you give your life to see revival come in this place? And, you know, after quite a few months of thinking, will I do that or not? And I said yes to God. And God is just reminding me again fresh that it's about seeing revival. You might say, what is revival? You know, we hear the stories of revival. I encourage you to read the stories of revival. But ultimately, it's about the presence of God coming and his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, transforming people's lives, seeing outbreaks of what that looks like when the kingdom of God comes. People get healed. You know, people get delivered from things that have held them for years. People become who they're created to be. Society is transformed. You know, the fullness of creativity is explored because God is creative. All those kind of wonderful things happen. And that is always God's purpose for the earth. It's not a thing that he does for special times. That is his purpose for the earth. So we're looking to go for revival, not just for a thing that will go on for a few months or a few years. We're looking to building cultures, kingdom cultures, where we are continually bringing the kingdom because we know who we are, we know what the church is, what the church is called to do, and we're developing cultures that will go on to the next generation so that we see God moving in power that is sustained and is becoming increasing rather than backing away. Is anyone up for that?
Yeah.
Good. So I think I've shared with you a lot of my passion and vision that I have for where we're going. You know, Jesus started with 12 disciples and they revolutionised the world. So we're only a small church here in Liverpool Green, but you know what, it really doesn't matter because God can use us and we can see people being impacted by this kingdom. But we need to become serious about giving ourselves to him. We need to lay down our lives for him. It really is that drastic, but it's worth it. But we need to give ourselves to seeing him come and make the sacrifices. You know, I have to say that because that's the way it happens. You know, but it is joyful, but it's also challenging. So, yeah, let's just pray and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do